I love talking about a lot of things. So you've probably heard me say that before. I'm a talker. It's a good thing I have a podcast. I love talking about the future and this idea of our soul's purpose. I think that it is a topic that is of interest to so many people, sort of understanding, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do in this lifetime? And I don't think it's a cut and dry conversation. You know, I think there's a lot of ways to dive into what your purpose might be. But I think that a first step is relaxing on the drive to find the purpose.
If the word witch makes you feel full of power and excitement, if you love personal development but loathe boring love and light conversation, if a sexy combo of witchery and inner work piques your interest, you're in the right place. Welcome home, Magic Maker, and welcome to Expedition to Soul, the podcast brought to you by the Sisters Enchanted.
Welcome to today's podcast episode. Today, I'm actually going to replay you a call I did on soul's purpose. It is a good one, and you'll hear about looking at your soul's purpose as sort of a way of being or an essence and something that you can apply in a variety of ways in your life. I think that we look for a soul's purpose in exactly what we should be doing. Now, I don't think that's what your soul's purpose is. So sit back and listen in. Our hot topic for today is the soul's purpose. Soul's purpose. One of the sorts of things I hear in one way or another from people just over the years and pretty consistently is wanting to know what their soul's purpose is. Like, I want to know, what's my soul's purpose? What am I here to do? How do you find your soul's purpose? And that's what we're going to talk about. All right. That's where I'm going to move my notes so I can read them. No, I'm going to put them right back where they were. My microphone's not in the right spot. There. All sorted. Let's start with the word soul. When I say the word soul to you, what do we think about with the word soul? Your soul is not something you can hold, right? Like, you can see my body. You cannot see some of you out there, really in tune psychic people. Some of us might feel like we can see the soul of people, like we feel it energetically, but we can't take it and put it on a table, right? And say, like, here's your soul on the table. Here's your soul on the table. Soul is an essence. It's ethereal. It is like something that we can maybe embody it, but it's not something you can take and you can put out. And when we say, oh, I can see this person's soul, I can see their energy, what we're seeing is, we use the word see, I think it's the best word we have to describe it, but we're sensing their essence. We're sensing their, like, the beauty between the lines that aren't the things that we can, like, touch, right? That is our soul. It's ethereal. It's an essence. The soul is, it's an unconditional love energy. When we talk about the soul, and I don't know, is this all perspective? Is it opinion? Is it theory? I don't know what it is. But when it comes to the soul, I think at its core, an essence, a soul, is unconditional love. It's a neutral energy. And I think it's our human brains then that add emotion to the soul, that add experience to the soul. The soul itself, I think, from what I know in my experiences, again, maybe it's different for you. This isn't one of those things where I'm going to say, this is it. this is just experience here. It's an unconditional neutral energy. And then we bring experience to it. So if we're thinking of soul's purpose, start with that. Understand that the soul isn't something that I think necessarily has one purpose, right? Because it's in and of it, I think it's innately pretty neutral, and it's innately full of unconditional love and just kind of is and experiences. And then when we think of the word purpose, if we're thinking of soul's purpose, I actually looked up the definition of purpose for this. And I got two here. One, the reason something is done or why it exists. So the reason something is done or why it exists. or have as one's intention. You better believe I love that. Have as one's intention or objective. So when we think of soul's purpose and we really take the language and look at it specifically, we have this ethereal energy that's just kind of here to see what happens. And then we have purpose, which is the reason why something exists or the intention for it. So I think that folks look for, what is my soul's purpose? What is it that I'm meant to do? What am I supposed to show up as in this life? Because we're looking for some sense of security and some sense of like assurance. We're on the right path and we're making the right choices. And I think that that's actually very counter to what a soul is. A soul, again, it's not something you can put on a table and say, look at this beautiful like red vase. It's so red and beautiful and tall and like describe it. It is an essence. And can you really describe an essence in one exact way? You can't, because I would say the essence of something, I might describe it in all kinds of different words than somebody else would. There's not like a black and white, this is what it is. So when we think of a soul's purpose, I think the more we look for our soul's purpose, the farther we can actually get from it, because we're so busy looking for the right thing. And so if we're saying, well, I want to know my soul's purpose. I want to know what I'm here for. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I feel like there's something meant for me, but I don't know what it is. I would say that the first place to start would be looking at a daily life and just asking, well, what stuff feels really like I don't want to be doing it? Like what feels really not intentional? What are some of these words here? Like you don't even know why you're doing it. Why are you having to do it? Why are you doing this? Or like, you can't name a reason besides something practical for it. So for example, we were having a discussion the other day with one of our community groups, and it was around the things that we value. And one of the people, so if she's watching this, you know who it is. As some of you will know who I'm talking about. But she mentioned that she values work because it gives her money to do the thing that she loves, right? So then I said, well, what if we reframe that? So that the thing you love is the thing you value. And now you work, right, to make it so you can do the thing that you love. And I think we can say things like, oh, well, I work because I need money. Like that's the purpose. But if it's not just something that's like some practical, I have to do it because I have to do it, what is the real reason? What is the real reason that you're doing it? Because we like, you know, we live in the world we live in. So I'm writing the work example here. I know not everybody here. Some of y'all are retired. Some of y'all are stay at home people. This is an example. So apply it to your life as you will. But we need money to live in the world that we live in. And so all of us can say, well, why do I work? I need money, right? And though you do have choice and agency in the type of thing you do for work. So if you wanted to align that and find a job that fills you up, find a job that makes you feel alive, that's where we start to ask these questions. Well, what's the reason I want to do this? Is it just because I need money? Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's why you're doing it. And that's fine. Like that's fair. And though, if you're making choices constantly just because it's the thing you have to do, and not stopping to say, why am I making the choice? What is the purpose here? I think that's where we distance ourselves from this feeling like we're doing things on purpose, that we're doing things that are in alignment with a soul's purpose. So for myself, as an example, I love what I do here. The exact thing, though, of leading the Sisters Enchanted, leading these communities, that's the container for the essence. What I do is I help people have confidence in themselves. I help people to see things from new perspectives. That's something I've been doing my entire life, not just in the container of the Sisters Enchanted. So I can say, well, what's the essence of what I do that I do again and again and again, that I feel great doing it? And I know that I'm contributing and it lights me up and I have no end of energy for it. And for me, that's always been really taking somebody who is like, all they can see is the four walls around them and helping them find the door out of the room. I've always done that. I've done it since I was a young kid. I did it when I was in college. I did it even without realizing I was doing it. That's what I've done. And so then when I can put myself in containers that allow me to do that, I feel fulfilled. I feel like I am on purpose in my life. My soul's purpose is not the Sisters Enchanted. My soul's purpose is the thing that I'm doing within the container. And I think that we can look for, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what I'm supposed to do for work. Tell me like whether or not I'm supposed to make these decisions and what is my soul's purpose. So I would ask you, when we think of soul's purpose, is really start to look at what do you do that feels like you have endless energy for it? What do you do that feels like you could just roll out of bed and you're like, this is the essence of what I feel comfortable doing. I feel like I just feel like me when I do it. I don't have to overthink it. I don't have to find the steps. I don't need somebody to tell me I'm doing it right. It's my essence. It is my way of moving through the world. That is, whatever that is your soul's purpose. In the container, though, that's what we're looking for the truth on, right? Like, we're looking for somebody to tell us that that's the right container for it. And you only figure out the right container by finding all the wrong containers. So you ask yourself, do I love, like, what about this am I not loving? What about this isn't the right fit for me right now? You know, in my previous, what I did before this, I worked with a lot of kids and adults with learning differences. And I found it wasn't my preferred container for this kind of work because I'd get this like rage in me about kids who weren't being served at their highest. And then I was not great at setting boundaries with my clients. So I'd have parents showing up on I remember one Memorial Day, I had had like a couple cocktails and a parent showed up at my doorstep because I wasn't answering their emails, like with paperwork for their kid on Memorial Day. And I was like, this is not, I need to learn boundary setting. And so that container at the time did not work for me. That container now, I'm a different person. That might be different. That container did not work for me then though, right? But that same essence, helping people see outside their four walls and find the door to another more open landscape. That's what I did then. That's what I do now. Different container. And you only find the containers through trying different ones and asking yourself, what part of this doesn't fit for me? And you might not know that right away either. That's kind of trial and error, right? So what are some of the reasons that we just continuously come up to barriers around this? And I've already talked about some of them here. Like I've bridged that conversation gap for us. But some of these barriers around really knowing what this is for you and trusting that thing is there for you to access. I think one of the biggest ones is lack of confidence, feeling like that it doesn't, that you, there's lack of confidence. So if you say that I feel like my essence, my soul essence is X, Y, and Z, lacking a confidence and just stating that for even to yourself, let alone other people. So a lack of confidence and following through or following that line of thought, emotional extremes. I think that when we find ourselves on either end of an emotional spectrum, that's not a soul energy. Soul energy, this is some opinion here. I think that's a very neutral energy. I think that it's our human selves and our thoughts that bring us into all these emotional extremes. And our soul is just like, the universe, unconditional love, let's be neutral. So when we're in these emotional extremes, I think that's when we're most looking for answers. When we're really joyous and happy and like over exhilarated, we want more of that. And I think that's when we can start chasing more high feelings and lose sight of like, of the other parts of life. When we're very like down and out and somebody please help me solve my problems, then we try to find something that's a solution. Where understanding and identifying your inner essence, your energy, your ethereal state of being really comes from non-attachment to these other emotions, which is really challenging for us as people. Like, it's very challenging for all of us as people. That's not, if you're like, oh gosh, that's me. That's not just you. That's all of us. I think decision overwhelm, and that's this container bit, seeing like, well, I can do this thing in 100 different containers. Like I see, let's what here, Beth is saying, love to learn and craft, but I have to do all the muggle stuff. So Beth, if projects, if creativity, if using your hands, if that was your essence, and that's the thing that you just like, you help people feel better through that. You feel better through it. You contribute the work to the world through it. If that's your go-to, and Beth, I'm using you just as an example. So just this isn't about Beth. This is Beth's line as an example. What becomes then challenging is the vast array of ways you can do that. Like a person who loves to do those kinds of things, you can be an art teacher. You can be an art therapist. You could be an artist. You could work in product development for a crafting company. You could work retail and crafts. You could be a fabric designer. Like it just becomes endless decisions and ideas. So the decision overwhelm with deciding the container, I think, can keep us away from stepping into our soul's purpose or what feels like a soul's purpose, because we just don't know what choice to make and we're afraid to get it wrong. I think that other barriers, people who tell you things about yourself from a young age, obviously I care about this. I wrote a whole book about it, but people who tell you things about you from a young age and you internalize it as truth and never realize that actually that's probably not true. Somebody else just said that to me and then I thought it was true forever. So we separate ourselves from these internal geniuses that we're born with, because we're all born with some kind of genius. That's the magic you were born with. And then somewhere along the line, maybe someone said something and you're just like, oh gosh, that's ridiculous. Why would I do that? Or I can't do that. And then you just believe that as true and make decisions based on it. So many of us focus on our weaknesses and trying to make our weaknesses stronger, which I think can take us away from our strengths and that genius. And then also just expectation of how life should look, how life should feel, how things should be easier, or if things are really easy, that maybe they should be harder and this is too easy and too good to be true, right? So we have all of these barriers that come up that I think make it more challenging for a person to truly understand their purpose. So we can call it the soul's purpose or just your purpose, but truly challenging to understand what is your most neutral self. What is your essence? What is the thing that you come back to again and again and again? And then what's the container for it for you right now? And also knowing that the container can change over time. I've done what I do to help people, or just how I interact with the world, through like 20 different vessels. None of them thinking that I would be doing anything different. Like that was the thing I was going to do, right? And then found myself doing it in a different, unexpected sort of way. So when it comes to that soul's purpose, I think that it is important to come back to feeling, to come back to how do I want to feel? What is going on in my life that feels misaligned? What feels like constant resistance? Where is my essence starting to dim, maybe? And just making adjustments for it. But your soul's purpose, I think it's something you were born with, and then you discover the container or the vessel, whatever. You discover the way you're going to use it throughout life. And I think that will change for you again and again and again, which is one of the other reasons why we feel folks might feel so lost. And what am I here for? What's my purpose? What's my soul's purpose? I just want to know, because I think there's this misconception that you'll find one thing that you do and that's just what you do. And you change constantly. Every day you are changing. You're changing the way you think about something. You're changing a preference. Your body's changing. Your mind is changing. You are constantly changing. You're changing. We live in a changing world. And so the container will continuously shift. And I think that a fault in the soul's purpose system is looking for the thing that fills you up as opposed to who you are, in delivering that to the world in some way, in some meaningful way. And so, you know, using myself as the example, I mean, I've worked daycare. I've worked lots of retail. I worked in sales and marketing for a big company in the US. I was a buyer for a company that made airplane seats. I was a teacher. I was in private practice education. I've done lots of things. I tutored adult learners who were going back to school when I was in college. Like I've held, I was the leader. When I was in high school, I would go to the elementary school and spend afternoons with kids whose parents were getting divorced and like be their mentor. Like I've always done this idea of, again, people are in four walls and then I help them get out of the four walls, but it's looked so many different ways. And at the time, each one felt like they fit in different ways. And now though, I wouldn't want to do some of those things again. And I see how I impacted those different roles and the people around me because of my ability to say, well, let's look at it from a different way. But it doesn't mean that any of those containers were wrong. And it doesn't mean that the Sisters Enchanted is like my one last soul's purpose. It's changing. It's always changing. We're always changing. But what I feel the most fulfilled in, my genius, my soul's purpose, can come out in a lot of different ways. And when we open ourselves to the possibility that your soul's purpose can move through you in a lot of different ways, I think that we open ourselves up to being willing to try different things, try new sorts of experiences for ourselves. Let's see here. Yeah. I'm going to scroll back through some comments here. I see lots of sharing here around what folks feel like their essence is, how you're currently showing up in that way. Let's see here. Ideas for the future. Love all of that. Yeah, Debbie. Oh, what did I just do? Oh, no, I made the comments go away. No, here they are. Debbie, Michelle sharing astrology reading. And hello, Michelle. Years ago, following my soul's purpose would change in X number of years, which is when I stopped consulting and started the rocks. Now I need to make the rocks into a proper container. Yeah. So Michelle owns a company, The Rock Seller, like CELLAR. So if you love crystals, go find Michelle on Instagram. Michelle's legit, legit. And I think that's one of the ways we change too. You know, those of you who've been with the Sisters Enchanted for almost 8 years that we've been doing this, you know, we've changed a lot in the way we do things, but it's because we learn, we grow, we understand what works, what doesn't, what's sustainable and what's not. And to think that you just find your thing and that's the one thing, that's not the case. It doesn't stay that way, right? Because you change, you grow. Your purpose, your soul is still this like neutral thing that was born with, you have this genius coming from your unique soul, however you view the soul. I mean, we all can view it in a lot like different ways, depending on your beliefs, your background, whatever. But it was born the way it was. And then your humanness grows and changes. And then your soul can come through in a different way as a result of the way you grow and you change in this world. So astrology, Michelle mentioned her astrology, and I didn't learn astrology. Well, I mean, I knew like the zodiac signs and working with the moon, but it was Anna and Nick, our astrology teachers, who really like taught me astrology. And that was over the last, you know, years that they've been teaching it. And I remember when they were first learning astrology, well before the Sisters Enchanted even started. And Anna was saying, she had my birth chart and she was saying something about my houses. And I remember I just kept like making all these quippy comments about, get out of my houses, get out of my basement. I didn't invite you into that house because I was like, it sounds like too much for me. What are you talking about? But if I look back at my life and I look at my birth chart, you see in my birth chart, I have six or five planets in astrology in my sixth house. That's health and wellness, the house of service. So how are you serving other people? Health and wellness. Like I do have a great interest in health and wellness, but how do I help other people? And you can think health and wellness and think like, you know, bodies, but it's also your mind. Like, how are you healthy and well in your soul, in your mind? I'm a Cancer rising. That's nurturing. That's mother energy. I have a Pisces midheaven. That's bringing the collective together. That's opposite. That's like you think of Pisces and the fish swimming in opposite directions, and that's rational world with the ethereal world, like swimming through each other and past each other. Like what's up here in our imaginations, and what do we actually have to live in down here in the world? Like that's exactly what I do for work, but I got here before I even knew any of that. And so when I look back though at my life and I consider this idea of soul's purpose, I mean, who I am at my core is written in the stars. The stars, though, don't tell me that I'm going to do that through mentoring, or am I going to do that through running a business, or am I going to do that through teaching? Am I going to do that through, like whatever roads, avenues I've taken to do that? I can see how I've done it in everything I've done, but I didn't know that either. So we can use tools. We can ask ourselves, again, this question I started us with, how do you want to feel? Knowing how you want to feel and then understanding why you don't already feel that way. Why do you desire to feel that way? Like what's making you think that that's the way you want to feel or need to feel? So we can use this depth inquiry, and we can use tarot to help ask these questions. We can look at astrology. And then in your looking for your soul's purpose, this is where shadow work comes in, because we can really find, like for me, for example, this service of others, these reality versus what's happening here. You know, I can get really, if I get onto a topic where I'm like, oh my gosh, here's the like facts and the reality, but then here's what's possible. And like, here's the data, but here's what my humanitarian heart is saying. Oh my gosh, I can have a like double, very Gemini, even though I don't really have my Chiron's in Gemini anyway, but I can start to have these conversations with myself. But I think it's more of the Pisces, like what do I want to get into versus what am I seeing in front of me? And I can do that very, very quickly with health and wellness and my Sagittarius. I'm very optimistic. I'm very like a risk taker. I will put myself out there to serve others. But the shadow side of that is that I can overindulge. I'm a person who, you know, alcohol is one of those things. I have to, in my younger years, I mean, I'm lucky I'm alive from some of the situations I put myself in with drinking. And as an adult, I am aware of it. Like I will, if I have a glass of wine, like I have a glass of wine with my grandma when I have dinner with her, it's like I can feel it in my body. And now that I have an awareness of it that I didn't used to have, it's like, I know it. And I look at my birth chart, and my birth chart literally says like gluttony, overindulgence, too much risk taking, too much fun having. If you're in the shadow and you start to like dive in, like, I want more of this feeling. And so if I'm chasing my soul's purpose and I'm chasing it based on these one end of the spectrum, emotional things that make me feel good in a moment, like that's where I got to come back to neutral. And I got to say, like, what feels expansive, not what feels good in the moment or what's going to leave me reeling afterwards. Yes, I'm quite the party girl. If y'all knew me in my early 20s, you would be like, Sarah seems like a different Sarah than I know now. Same Sarah, different thought process. Same Sarah, different thoughts. But all of this can help you be tools though, to know like, what is it for me? What is that thing? What is that thing? And sometimes trying so hard to discover your soul's purpose, I think will just bring up lots of resistance for you. And it really is one of those feelings based, you know, what is the magic I was born with? And then how can I explore different containers for it in my life? And also knowing too, I think changing your expectations to understand that you're going to do plenty of things in your lifetime that are not on your soul's purpose. Plenty of them, whether it's because of circumstance, it's a learning lesson, it's a, you know, because you have to, whatever those things are, you're going to have plenty of those experiences because of the world that we were all born into. There's certain things we just have to do, and seeing those for what they are and adjusting your expectation around them too. Like some things are the things you have to do to keep the road underneath your feet, you know, and then you look for the soul's purpose opportunities on that journey and figure out how you can get closer and closer and closer to them. All right. Let's see here. What do we got going on? Some of these comments here. I see some things I like, things that you'd like to do more of. I love that you're all sharing here in the comments too and having this discussion with each other. I think it's helpful for other people to see that other people are in those same shoes. Oh my gosh, the alcohol thing. I could do a whole chat on that. Maybe I will. Just my relationship with alcohol. Firstly, my alcoholism runs in my family. And then the folks who aren't what you might call an alcoholic, I would say are definitely glorify alcohol, being able to drink a lot of alcohol and have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And that wasn't something that I've realized. I mean, maybe my late 20s that like dawned on me. I was like, wait a second, not everyone's like this. And that took some changing. And then I do drink alcohol. I won't say I don't, but I'm not a daily drinker. So I have a glass of wine when I have dinner with my grandmother, which is once a week. And then probably once like every, I don't know, 2 weeks in between there, at dinner, my husband will make cocktails or something. I'll have one of those. But since I drink so much less, and I think my hormones have been changing a lot recently, and like my body's doing all that beautiful fluctuating, it starts to do. If I drink even one glass of wine, like I don't sleep well, I'm having hot flashes, I wake up parched and dead to the myself anyway. And it's just like, what have you done to me, Sarah? So it's interesting how I'm experiencing that so much differently, but that's just my experience. You know, I'm not speaking for anyone else, just sharing that is my experience. Michelle shared, love the idea of containers. Yeah, because you can almost change anything you're doing in a proper container. Yes. Look for the containers. What do we need to change about that? Yeah, let's see here. Yes, alcoholism runs in my family, which is alcoholism with a side of pill popping to go with it. So I got to really like mind my mind when I'm feeling the pull to something to take me out of my emotional experience. But that's my experience. And again, I also have that I've got all that, my shadow of my Sagittarius in that sixth house is over drinking, overeating, overindulging, and getting lost in that. So for my personal experience, I take that very, you know, when I start to feel like, what can I do to not be in me? That's when I get more in me for me. And I ask myself, like, what can I do here? Yeah, Michelle just wake up with a headache. Yeah, one glass of wine. And I'm like, oh my God. I get it's like hot flashes. My husband's gotta change the sheets from the sweat. Like, it's just one glass of wine. I thought at least. Anyway, though, that's just my experience on that topic. But definitely had to learn that overindulgence and what it did for me also, to bring my, like, just come back to me, to bring that clarity to my life as well. All right. Totally went on a side tangent there. We started on planning for the week ahead. It's cliche. It's so cliche to say this, and it's probably really annoying, but if you don't plan right, you plan to fail. Not planning is planning to fail. I don't know what that cliche thing is, but really start from, how do I want to feel? Look at your week ahead. Does your week look like the way you want to feel? If not, what needs to be adjusted? Do you have to adjust your expectation? Do you need to adjust what's on the calendar? Like, what do you got to do from there? And then after that, we talked about soul's purpose, and I challenged you to consider that your soul's purpose is more of an essence. It's more of an ethereal thing, and it's not a, this is what I'm meant to do with my life specific answer. It's not like flashing signs that are going to say, this is it. It's your soul's purpose. It's it's more your essence. It's your ethereal self. It's your unique magic, but the container for that can look different. The container can change over your lifetime. And when you're open to accepting that, I think that's when you will more naturally find yourself, falling into things that feel aligned for you, because you're open to looking for the opportunities as opposed to trying to find the right thing and ultimately sabotaging yourself along the way. I went through a whole list of reasons why I think it's challenging for people to open themselves up to this. So you'll want to listen back if you came in later. But yeah, good. Some good things.
I hope you enjoyed listening all about soul's purpose, and maybe you feel a little relief from the pressure to figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime, because I truly don't believe there is one thing for you to be doing. I think your soul's purpose can appear for you in infinite ways, and it's about identifying your essence, right? Your purpose in what you put into the world as opposed to how you do that in this lifetime. All right. If you are ready to dive in to clear the way to know yourself better, be sure to check out our magical self-care challenge and course. It starts soon. We'd love to have you in there. But until next time, I hope that you have an enchanted rest of your day ahead. If you love the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or a review. That helps us to get the word out about all we're doing here at the Sisters Enchanted. Thanks for being part of our community, and we'll see you in the next episode.